can hardly see this evening. I have some kind of allergies. Anybody else struggling with that?
Oh, it's always good not to be alone.
Sure, it's not a stain.
I tried to wash my eyes out today the best I could. Not for sure where I heard this. I think I'm right, but if not, you'll understand I heard it somewhere. I just can't recall where. I believe it was Joe Beam. You know Joe Beam? You've heard of Joe Beam? Joe Beam wrote a book, Seeing the Unseen, I think, and he's a member of the church who speaks at the Tulsa Workshop on occasion. Joe Beam was a man who his marriage was destroyed because he went out and did some ungodly things. And through the course of time, he got his life right with the Lord, and he got his life right with his wife, and they rejoined each other. And now as a Christian, he, instead of bottling that up and being ashamed of it, he talks about it to try to help people. And I believe it was Joe that said that he has seen some things with his eyes that he wished he would have never seen, because once you see them, they're hard to get rid of. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about the eyes as being lamps of the soul. Now when I was a little boy, I was at school, and you know what little boys at school do? I don't know about your school, but little boys at my school, they were vulgar. They talked about a lot of trash that they shouldn't have talked about. They brought girly magazines to school, and I don't know where they got those from, the parents or something. We had a little clubhouse down the road, and me and the boys, we'd get together and we'd ride bicycles and swing from trees and, you know, do all the stuff boys do. But the older boys that were their brothers, they had a fort, they called forts, and they had a locked door. And one day, one of the kids had a key to the brother's fort and took me in there. And I'll say, that wallpaper didn't come from Montgomery Ward's. Are you with me? And I was just, man. Well, as time went on, as a kid, at school, something happened to me. And it was right around that time. All the boys at school, they were doing stuff like that. So I went in, I'm confessing again. I went in and got Mama's Montgomery Ward catalog. You ever seen, do they even have, they don't even have Montgomery Wards anymore, do they?
Yeah,
do they? So I tore out the picture of the brassiere section. I wadded that up, put it in my pocket, and I took it to school because I was going to be cool. Man, I don't know how often Mama reads the Montgomery Ward magazine, but she did that day. She saw me or something. She liked to wore me out. And I say, thank you, Mom. I mean that. Mom set me down and had to talk to me that it wasn't right to look at women like that. Well, as time went on, it wasn't just an isolated thing. You see, all through school, I listened to this talk. Vulgar talk, trash talk, the guys talking about girls in the locker room. Guys open up their locker doors and there's naked women hanging on the doors. When I worked at the power plant, those guys, they all had naked women hanging all over the locker room. It's just disgusting. It was disgusting. It was a defilement of who we are as Christians. And I think about just how terrible it is that we have a whole lot of people in our world that struggle with it. And church, there are church people that struggle with it. I currently know of probably more than 10 church people, and I'm not going to say where all, but throughout the brotherhood, that's struggling with this issue of looking at pornography and that type of thing. So it's that I want to talk to you about this evening. Because I listen to Joe Beam and he just shakes his head and he says, I can't erase those pictures out of my mind. So all you young boys, I want you to think about before you look at some smut that you ought not to look at, that you may not have an eraser that'll erase it out of your mind. Fair enough? Well, I'm not sure. Maybe this has been a problem throughout all generations. I'm not certain. But remember back when President Clinton was in office, and I think it was him that, I'm doing a lot of thinking, I'm almost certain it was him, that got this V-chip thing going. You know what V-chip is? You ought to. If you got a TV, you probably got one in your house. A V-chip was supposed to be a violence chip. And it was supposed to block out certain things on the TV. Well, that has evolved into what you got on your TV now, parental locks. Am I talking your language now? You push the menu button and it says, push in your passcode. You know, I figured out how to do all that. Let your kids see this, don't let them see that, you know. So what we've done is, as a society, we've said, you know what, we got a huge problem. And there's something that we've got to do about this. So we put locks and anti-locks on our TVs. And you know what? There's another huge one. There's another huge one. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll wait to get into that. To the big daddy of big daddies. Y'all just wait. It's coming. Look at Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. Here Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The first thing that I want to talk to you about in regards to this subject, about the eye being the lamp of the body, is that we have control over our eyes. We have control over our eyes. I think about the story in 2 Samuel chapter 11, of David and Bathsheba. And you know this story well. It was a time of year when the kings were off at war, and where was David? David was home, and where was his men? Off at war. David's where he's supposed to be. And he's walking around on the roof of his his house, and he looks over there at the neighbor, and he sees a neighbor lady taking a bath. And he develops lust in his heart, and he keeps looking, and he likes what he sees, and that snowballs and leads him into an adulterous situation. And the adulterous situation leads him into a murderous situation. The murderous situation leads him into a lying situation. Isn't it that a way with pornography, folks? Well, in case you don't know, it is. It's kind of a snowball sort of thing. But King David, he could have made a choice. But he chose wrong. He chose to sin. He did not take control over his eyes, but he looked. And he focused in on her, and he sinned as a result of that. And from that, we find him saying in Psalms chapter 51, you see this type of language, after the fact. And is the case, coincidentally, with people that get involved with pornography? back, they're really hard on themselves. They look back and they regret it, and they're torn up about it. And here, King David, in this same type of situation, Psalms 51, verse 1 through 4, he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." The televisions in your home, I want to remind you of what you already know. They're a pipeline from hell. Okay? Now, you may choose to watch the good quality programming, and you may choose, like good Christians, not to watch the junk. But I'm here to tell you that you can't flip through the channels without smut being flashed in front of your face. Now, is that true or is that true?
Amen.
It is true. Why do we have a pipeline from hell in our homes? Is there any way to control this? You know, Charity and I, we really have to work at making sure the kids aren't up past their bedtime watching stuff they're not supposed to be. And you know, we just about have to watch it with them because it's so bad. If this is a real issue for men, and I know it is, I can't speak effectively for women because I don't know exactly how women operate. I've been trying to find out through Charity, but I don't know. That was supposed to have been funny. What I'm saying is I'm not sure exactly how women think and are different from men. Men wrestle with this. And TV can be a real problem. Now, parents have figured out that TVs are a wonderful babysitter. How many of you ever noticed that? When Colton was born, I'm surprised the boy's brain is not warped. We got a swing. You wind it up. We didn't have the battery. They made battery ones. That was smart. The wind-up thing would wake him up. We'd wind this thing up, and Colton would sit there back and forth in front of the TV. And boy, man, I mean, it was great. Do you know what your kids are watching? I hope you do, because it's important. Maybe some of you folks that are going to have children someday need to be aware that the TV can be a horrible source of vulgarity. It can be a source of Satan in the home. Ah, you got this second thing I started to mention a while ago. We've got something today that makes it real easy. You don't have to go down here to the store and buy an old pornography magazine. That's obsolete. Don't got to do that anymore. If you got the internet in your home, it's at the touch of your finger. And let me tell you, it's at the touch of your finger whether you want it or not. I'm sitting down there. You notice I don't do a lot of PowerPoint presentations anymore? Let me tell you why. It doesn't matter what you Google, there's going to be smut on the screen. I Google pictures of God, and you know what I get in my face? Garbage. I'm talking about pornography garbage. I punched in, I punched in a local news station, and guess what I got flashed up in my face? Pornography. Well, I'm no dummy. I don't want that flashed up in my face because my mom will come and beat the tar out of me again. Right? Thank goodness for my mother. I don't have a desire for that today. Plants do not grow in darkness, and neither do Christians. We are made for the light, and we have to control what our eyes see. If you have a problem in this area, or you think you might, take your TV and throw it out in the road and call me and I'll come run over it. I'm not kidding. If you have a problem and your computer is making it too easy for you, throw it out in the road and I'll come run over it. I'll do it gladly, by the way. I like to, you know, the boy in me likes to tear stuff up once in a while. But I think that's the idea. We have to take it that serious, church, because this is a serious problem. Number two, I think that we have to program our eyes. Just like that V chip on your television, you know, you gotta set it. You gotta come up with what's reasonable. You know, is the Discovery Channel okay? Yeah. Stock Market Channel okay? Yeah. Desperate Housewives okay? I don't think so. Now, I'm sorry if you like that show, but it's... And I'm not even watching it all the way, but I've seen enough passing through. I surf. Do any of y'all surf? I can watch 50 shows at one time if I can run it fast enough. And my wife will gladly elaborate on that if you ask her to. To program your eyes, you got to read the instructions. Now, how many of you have a VCR? They ought to outlaw those things. I can't even figure out how to plug all the wires in the back, much less that remote control with all those buttons. Do you know how to record a movie on your VHS? How many people do actually know how to? And my hand's not up. Oh, yeah, well, we got a pretty good number. You got to program your eyes. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How do you know what you ought to look at and what you ought not to look at? How do you know the difference between what can cause you harm by what you're looking at and versus not? Well, God's word leads you in that direction, doesn't it? God talks to us about those things. What we need to do when we program our eyes is we need to set our eyes on things above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. We've got to program our eyes to look only at godly things. I was driving to Oklahoma here last year. I'm driving in the middle of Kansas City. I think I mentioned this before. We've talked about this subject before, and I know we have, and I'm talking about it again on purpose because it's just important. I'm in the middle of Kansas City, and I look up, and there's a billboard. Does anybody have any idea how big a billboard is? It's huge. And I look up there, and something about a gentleman's club, and I've got these half-naked ladies staring me in the face. And I'm like, I just shake my head, and I'm like, man, I want to see that. And I get down the road just a little bit later, and there's another billboard. Something about Hooters. And I'm thinking, man, how hard it is to live in this world and try to be a Christian with all that smut staring me in the face. We've got to know our programming, what's allowed and what's not, and we've got to stick to it. And church, we have to be consistent. We have to be consistent. The folks that I know that wrestle with these type of things, they're not consistent. They fall off the turnip truck and they get back on and they fall off. They don't consistently look away. God calls us, church, to consistently look away. We have a choice, and church, we have a responsibility not to look at those type of vain things. Programming is a must. But how we do it is a battle. And we are to put ourselves in God's Word. And we're to wrestle with it and do the right thing. I like the words of Job. Job chapter 31 and verse 1 says that Job made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully upon a woman. I down to the bank and you borrow money and you make a covenant with them. That is a binding agreement. And as a matter of fact, Brother McGee talked to us about what covenant meant here a few Wednesday nights ago. You make a binding agreement. Job here doesn't sit down with someone else. He's talking to his eyeballs. He goes to the mirror and says, I'm talking to you, buddy. He's talking to himself. And he makes an agreement before God. He ain't going to do that. That's pretty straight up, isn't it? You know what? I would suggest to you, men of the congregation, even if you don't struggle with this, I think maybe you should look in the mirror and make a covenant with your eyes, lest you don't fall off into it at some point in the future. Because this type of thing draws the desire of your heart away from God and to yourself, where Satan will kill you. We, church, are made in the image of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says that we are the light of the world. Have you ever tried to do something when it was too dark? Have you ever got frustrated by that? Man, I was out there working on a car the other day. I got my drop light, and I dropped it. And I got a quick flash of light, you know, like it's taking my picture that ruined my bulb. Then I'm under there, I'm feeling, but I can't see a thing. Darkness is frustrating. We're not meant for darkness. Church, we're made for light. And unfortunately, we live in a world that just loves smut. I'm concerned about my boys. Because it's so easy for them to look at this stuff without me knowing that it's unreal. But I want to teach them that the desire of their hearts needs to be on God, not making some woman into an object. God never meant for that to happen. We don't have any Montgomery Ward catalogs in my house. But my mom has one you can borrow. It's missing a few pages, but it's taught a good lesson. Church, the chances are that you have someone in your family that are struggling with this. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Maybe your husband is. Maybe one of your kids is. Certainly someone in your life struggles with this. But you know what? It's not a public thing. I don't know the last time someone come forward and said, you know what, I'm struggling with this, I'd like for us to pray. You know why? Because you're embarrassed about it. I'm embarrassed about telling you about the Montgomery catalog, whether it's 35 years ago. You know, that's kind of embarrassing. But you know what? We have got to try to help each other, because you know what? This thing is serious. This thing is so big, I don't know if we have a clue how big in the brotherhood this is. I want you to think about that this week. And I want you to think about what you're looking at. Make a covenant with your eyes, guys and girls, not to be looking at the wrong thing. If you have a need, would you come as we stand and sing?